Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is episode number 74, and what we're going to talk about today is the first of the eight forms of capital. And this is from an article that I recently read by Ethan C. Rowland of Appleseed Permaculture. And he's done a great job at coming up with these eight various forms of capital and how they're integrated together. And so we're going to discuss those. I'll, of course, have a link in the show notes to his article, and you'll want to read that in its entirety. I want to give him the credit for that. I've not come up with these, although some of my explanation and illustrations and examples of them, of course, are original with me. But you want to make sure that you give him the credit for that, the eight forms of capital. And so we're going to look at that. But before we do that, I want to direct your attention to a few of the announcements. First of all, our affiliate focus for today is envelopes. I like envelopes because it is the best resource that I know of keeping track of your money in a way that is right for our generation. Generations ago, people used to keep all their money in cash and envelopes at home. And we live now in an electronic world where we rarely ever see cash, and everything is through debits and credit cards and bank transactions and transfers and all that kind of stuff. And so it's hard to keep track of that unless you've got some kind of system online that does that. Envelopes is able to do that for you. And in addition to that, they have software on the computer where it allows you to eliminate your debt faster, and it helps you overall get out of debt and manage your money well. So great budgeting software called Envelopes. Check them out on the center right column of the website. And their service, I think they got a 30-day free service, and then it's only like $8 or $10 a month, depending on which contract you sign up for, to continue with the program. So it's pretty good. Also, make sure that you are following us on all the various social media, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I often put out some other blogs and things like that as well, as regardless of, in addition to the podcast. I put one up there today. If you haven't been to the website recently, you might want to check it out. It's under just our blog section, and it is a video of the Blimey Cow people. If you're not familiar with the Blimey Cow YouTube presenters, it's very funny material, but they speak the truth with a lot of humor. And I put one up there on the education, college education. And so check that out. And then also, if you want to give me feedback, best way to do that is steve@thelegacypodcast.com. That's my direct email, steve@thelegacypodcast.com. So if you have any questions or comments or want to give me additional feedback, that would be the way to do that. Of course, you can give feedback to each of the episodes as well in the comment section. And then also, I want to encourage you, if you like the show, to become a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year. With that, you have access to our exclusive members-only page that has discounts to various vendors, an ebook or two, some downloadable materials and charts that should be able to help you out. Take a look online as to what is offered through that and the benefits of it, and then consider supporting the show. You can do that. $30 a year is which less than 25 cents an episode. You can support the show. So I encourage you to be a part of the Legacy Partner Program. That takes care then of the introductory material. So now let's talk about the first of the eight forms of capital, and that is social capital. Social capital. So what is social capital? Well, the best way of explaining what social capital is that it is the influence and connections and the communications that you have with other people. In other words, it's your ability to access other people. It's your ability to influence other people, to lead other people, and that is social capital. You know, there is a reputation that is involved in that. You have probably heard of people who have first name basis type people who you mention their name. I'm going to mention a few examples here in a moment, but you mention their name, and of course, everybody knows who that is. They have a whole lot of social capital, and it can be good social capital or it can be negative social capital. If someone hears your name and is turned off by that, well, then you have a lot of negative social capital. Whereas if someone hears your name and all they have to say is good things about you when they hear that name, then of course that is good social capital. You might be in a situation one time where you say, hey, do you know so-and-so? And they're like, oh yeah, I know him. He's a great guy. Well, that's social capital. And of course that can be used in a lot of ways beneficially. And then also you can have good credit and bad credit when it comes to the social capital. Not only can it be a good and bad, but you can also have, you can owe people and you can of course, have people owe you. If you owe someone a favor, it is a form of social capital that you owe. Whereas if someone owes you a favor, then that is, in a way, a social credit capital that you have to your account. So that's really what social capital is. It's the ability to ask for a favor. It's the ability to influence people. It's the ability that if someone, that you say something, you communicate something, people listen, people respond, people act upon your communication and upon your speech. So what are some examples of people who have a whole lot of social capital? Well, I want to first turn to a fictitious situation just to illustrate the point. And I think it's a great illustration. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie Gladiator. It's one of my favorite, and it may not be the most family friendly, but it's got a great message in it, and it's one of those stand up and shout for freedom type movies. And in that, there is a point where after the general who had become a gladiator because the new emperor had basically ran him off, killed his family, that kind of thing. He is now fighting as a gladiator, but it's just been revealed who he truly is as the general of the armies of the North. And then he gets back together with his gladiator friends and they're talking. And there's that scene in the movie where he's talking with his friends about what will become of him now that the evil emperor knows who he is and wants to kill him. Juba, one of his friends, reassures him and he says, "You have a great name. He must kill your name before he kills you." In other words, the general had a great deal of social capital. He was able to call upon his troops who still supported him. And when they found out, of course, that he was still alive, they rallied around him. And that social capital, the ability to have troops rally around you, that's the idea. Well, so here's some real life examples. Almost every politician, whether they're a good politician or bad politician, has a lot of social capital. They wouldn't be able to get to where they are if they didn't have this kind of social capital. They have both combined negative and positive social capital. They may have a mixed credit and debit capital. And this is in part of the problem with our government because, when, say, for example, they're campaigning, they're promising all these kinds of things if they were to become elected. And then when they get elected, of course, they have to pay off those debts that they now have obligated themselves to through the promises that they've had in their campaigning. And so, of course, they assign all these people that helped them in their campaign and donated lots of money. They assign them various cushy positions in the cabinet or in the government positions, that kind of thing. And they're repaying their debt that they have in their social capital. And so politicians have enormous social capital, and they use this both in a positive and a negative way. And then, people who are able to draw a crowd have a great deal of social capital. You think of entertainers, musicians, singers, songwriters, these kinds of people who are able to, fill a stadium of people who want to come and hear them and listen to them. And, it always surprises me. I guess it shouldn't surprise me, but it often does when, there's some kind of thing going on around the world and they ask some of these movie stars or some of these singers, what their opinion is of world politics, as though any of these guys have any clue about world politics. But they ask them why, because they're popular, they're well known. And so, you hear about, some rap star saying something about what's going on in Israel, and he's clueless as to what's really going on. But because he's famous, he has a lot of social capital, and so the newscasters and all want to hear his opinion on it. Motivational speakers, of course, would be another example of someone who has a lot of social capital. They're able to fill rooms, and a lot of people still go to hear talks by motivational speakers. And of course, I certainly not the most orthodox in his theology, but Joel Osteen is able to fill auditoriums everywhere he goes. And of course, his church, if you want to call it a church, is huge down in Texas, because he has a lot of social capital, a lot of charisma, a lot of ability to influence others and lead other people. And then, why are entrepreneurs paid so much money? Well, because they are able to draw a crowd. This is one of the distinctions or one of the indications that somebody is able to have a lot of social capital. You know, they work together, having monetary capital, which we'll get to at a later podcast, and having social capital kind of work together, because those people that have a lot of social capital, of course, usually become wealthy. There's no politician who really runs for office that's not a millionaire. And the reason they got to be a millionaire is because they have a lot of social capital. Or was it their social capital that first brought them to $1 million? It's hard to say what came first. They kind of work together in a lot of ways. And so, it's an indication, or is it a cause of their social capital? But nonetheless, they have that. And then, you know, if you think back to the popular kid in school, those of you who went to a public school or even a private school, you know, that popular kid in school who was, you know, always had a girl at his arm, or who was always able to draw a crowd and had friends and everybody wanted to be like him, that kind of thing. That person has a lot of social capital. He was able to influence how people dress, talk, new fads. I remember there was a kid in our school who, after he went away, he was a nerd when he left. I mean, no one seemed to like him. He was, you know, one of those kind of, it was on the fringe. Well, he left to go to California for a couple of years. I think maybe his parents got divorced or something. He went and lived with his mom or something. And, he came back from California. And of course he had the California hairstyle. And this is when I lived in Alaska, and he had all the California fad and California, look about him and everything. He came back, and he was the popular guy in school. And of course, he was able to get the most popular girl in the school, which made him even more popular. And his social capital just continued to grow. And that's the concept behind social capital. Now, of course, I'm not saying any of that is either good or bad. It just is. And that's the reality that we live in, that there's a lot of social capital that is around these kinds of people. Another indication of a lot of social capital is, look at how many friends someone has on Facebook. You know, if you go to my Facebook, unfortunately, I don't have very many friends. And by the way, those of you who have not friended me or friended the Legacy Podcast on Facebook and you're on Facebook, I really encourage you to do that. It helps build my social capital. And so you can go on there. You can see that there is a... you know, there are some people who have, you know, millions of friends or millions of hits on their fan page, that kind of thing. And these are people that have a lot of social capital. And, you know, I think of the, as I just posted a while back, a video from the Blimey Cow, YouTube videos. And, there are some of their videos that have hundreds and thousands of hits. That means they have a lot of social capital. They're able to influence a lot of people as a result of that. And so the various social media can be an indication of social capital. And those with whom we are on a one-to-one basis, or a one-name basis, excuse me. In other words, when I mention these people's names, we immediately know who it is I'm talking about. Obama, Bush, Biden, Reagan, Romney, Bin Laden. You see, I don't need to explain first names or last names or anything like that. We know exactly who we're talking about when we mention those names. They're on a first name basis. Well, obviously, if you're on a first name basis on a national scene, that gives you a whole lot of clout. It gives you a whole lot of social capital. And they've been able to acquire that kind of social capital because they have risen in popularity and fame. Again, we have to ask the question, does the social capital come first, or is the social capital built after other things are built? And I think they go hand in hand. I think you build your social capital as you build other things, and as those other things are built, your social capital is built. So it's one aspect of wealth. And, you know, another example, of course, would be Elvis. I don't have to say Elvis Presley. As soon as you say Elvis, everybody goes, yeah, the king, right? And so that's just another example. And then you have on the local level, you know, if you take it down to a more local level, you know, my parents, when I lived in Juneau, they had a lot of social capital because they were very popular in the area in which I lived. They'd lived there a long time. They were involved in a lot of different activities in the community and in their employments. My dad served on the school board and was elected to the only 4-year term that was there. My grandparents owned one of two fuel companies in the area. My stepmother worked for the state legislature. My dad worked for the federal government. All the teachers knew my parents. My brother was a great student. And so, as you might imagine, as I was growing up through the ranks and through the schools, everybody knew me. And it was because my parents had a lot of social capital. And so I knew a lot of them. And so this concept of social capital, it can be broad in the sense of on a national scene, or it can be localized. And of course, the broader it is, the more social capital one has. And yet, you should have your most social capital, or should be, within your family, and then, you know, within your church and outside the church walls to business and that kind of thing. And lastly, on a national scene. So why is it important to have this kind of social capital? You know, is it as important as having material capital or not? Well, a couple of things about that. First of all, it allows you to influence other people. And the more influential you are, the greater the impact that you can have. Your leadership is able to make a difference in the lives of other people. And the more leadership that you have, the more capital that you have, social capital, and the more social capital you have, the more leadership you have that go hand in hand. The greater your influence, the greater your legacy. You can cash in on social credits if needed in the form of a favor, or, you know, if you have not built up enough social credits, you will not be able to ask for other things from other people. And so, you know, it's really important to build this kind of social capital. Well, how do you acquire that then? If it's important to build it, how is it we are to acquire this positive social capital? Well, there's a lot of resources that we can use. There's people who have devoted their whole lives to leadership, who devote their whole lives to helping others build some kind of ability to influence others. I think of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And of course, I'll have a link in the show notes to all of these books if you wanted to acquire them. I think that one's on audio. And, you know, I've listened to it on audio and I've listened to it. Now, I have to say that sometimes the principles that are found in these books are not necessarily biblical principles, but they are still good principles for building social value and social credit and social capital. So how to win friends and influence people. And then John Maxwell is the king of leadership writing. He's a Christian. Of course, some of you may know him. He's usually a consultant to, you know, mega churches and this kind of stuff on leadership. And he's written a bunch of books on it. And one of the best books he's written is one of the first books he wrote, which was the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And in that book, he goes through all these 21 laws and talks about leadership. And if you follow those principles, I guarantee your social capital will increase. And so, you know, we can acquire books like that, read them, and develop some social capital from that. And then there's Les Gibbons has got a book out there on dealing with people. I'll put a little show note note in the show notes of that. It's a really small book, very easy. That may be the place to start with first. Then one of the best books ever written on social capital is the Book of Proverbs. The Book of Proverbs has in it succinct ideas as to how to be successful in life. Among that, those sayings are very thorough and fully equipping proverbs on building social value and social credit with other people. So that's a great book. You can also be involved in networking. There's networking organizations ranging from very formal things like BNI to very informal things like meetup groups, or, you know, just informal things such as social networking. And you can use these various means to increase your influence over others and your leadership over others and your ability to impact others, your connections. One of the greatest things, one of the best ways that you can build your social capital is to have more connections. Now, LinkedIn, of course, is the king of business connections, and you can connect with other people on LinkedIn. In fact, they call it that, connecting with each other. And what a great way to do that. You know, it used to be that you had to write letters back and forth between people, back and forth, and it took, you know, a long time for the mail to go back and forth. And now, of course, we've got all kinds of ability to connect with others through Facebook and YouTube and all the various LinkedIns, and then not to mention just regular texting and emailing, and all these kinds of things are ways to build this. And so using these various means to build your connections and build your capital is great. And then get good at something. In other words, what I mean by that is the better you are at something, the more clout you will have, the more experience you will have, the more ability you will have to influence others in that avenue, and the more you will be called upon as an expert in that, and the more leadership you will be able to take in that position. The book of Proverbs says this in Proverbs 22, verse 29. It says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown people." And so the idea is there that, you know, you don't stand before a king unless you have achieved a great deal, unless you have somehow developed some connections, developed some expertise, developed some leadership. I mean, kings aren't going to waste their time on people that don't have a lot to offer. And so, yeah, that's just the sad reality of it. And so the idea is that if you have a lot to offer, if you've got a lot of social capital, if you've got a lot of material capital, whatever it might be, if you've got a lot to offer, you're able to stand before kings. And so someone who is able to excel in his work, someone who does a great job, who is able to do a work that is beyond average and ordinary, that person is going to be able to have a lot of social capital. And then the last thing is to work towards having a good name. You know, it's one thing to have social capital that is negative. It's another thing to have social capital that is good. And the best way to have a good name is to do good work. The book of Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." So that puts the perspective in right order when it comes to whether or not social capital is more important than material capital. And the book of Proverbs would certainly say that a good name, social capital, is better than material capital. And why is that? Well, if you have a good name, you can make money. You can have material capital. But vice versa is not always the truth. If you've got a lot of money, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll have a lot of social capital. Sometimes it does. But usually with a lot of social capital, you can end up with a great deal of money. And then also in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, it says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." So a good name, again, is better than precious ointment. There is something to be desired in having a good name, having a name that others can relate to, and yet a name that others will follow, and you can lead them by it. So what are we to do? What are some steps that you can take today? Well, number one is evaluate your social capital. Identify those with whom you have the most influence or connections and keep those. Obviously, you want to start with where you are. You don't want to lose those connections that you already have. You don't want to, you know, so to speak, kill the goose that laid the golden egg. You want to be able to use those assets that you currently have, the capital that you currently have, to be able to make more capital. It's just as though if you were taking money and you were multiplying exponentially, you want to be able to make sure your money makes money. And so you want to make sure that your social capital you currently have builds more social capital. So you need to identify that. Of course, the best relationship is parents with children. This is that relationship that you have the most influence over. And so you want to make sure that you're able to continue your leadership over your children and that they are following your example and following what you want them to do. And then also identify those with whom you have negative social capital or a debit and determine how you can repair that. If you have something against your brother, go be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. So the idea is that we are to repair whatever bad credit, whatever negative capital that we have, so that our social relationships will be built up and strengthened by it, and we can have more on the asset page than we will on the liability page when it comes to our capital. And then network with those fans that you do have. I already mentioned this. The very best way to get more social capital is for those that do follow you now, your fans right now, to be able to tell others. You've probably heard said before that the, you know, one negative comment will reach a lot more than two or three positive comments. And so you want to make sure that those people that are positive towards you, those people that are already fans, are telling others about you. And so I'm going to put out a petition here, and that you'll notice this every time I get on the podcast. The first thing that I do is I say, make sure that you, well, not the first thing, but one of the first things I do in the introductory segment is to make sure that you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and that you're telling other people about us. The best way that I know how of marketing this podcast and letting other people know about it to be able to influence more people is for those of you that do listen to tell others about it. And so I encourage you to do that. and then identify what you can change to acquire more capital. Maybe there's something in your personality that is abrasive. Maybe there's something in your personality that is a turnoff towards others that has negative social capital. And you can easily change that in your personality. You know, there's something about a smile. There's some people just find it hard to smile. But a smile can go a long way. There's a friend of mine who, you know, my family always talks about, because he's always got a smile on his face, no matter, you know, what might be going on in his life. And I'm sure he's got difficult times, but even when you're around him, he's always smiling. And there's something about that that builds friendship, that develops capital. And so figure out what in your personality may be a drawback or negative when it comes to having social capital, and change that. And then maybe there's something in your practices. Maybe you're doing something that would be a turnoff, or maybe you're doing something or not doing something, not taking action that you need to be, that you can change, that would begin to build your social capital. And then finally, ask God to make your light shine more brightly. You know, the scriptures tell us that we are to be like a lighthouse set on a hill, and that we are to be, you know, our light is so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. And of course, that's speaking mostly to spiritual side of life, but it can also, the principle can also apply to the social side of life. And the more we are able to be a blessing to others, the more social capital that we'll develop. You know, I think of Jabez, and there was a whole book written about his prayer. And I'm going to repeat the prayer to you. It's from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brother." So right there, he's already got more social capital in that he was more honorable than his brother. So when the family went out, when people looked at his family, they chose Jabez as the one that they wanted to follow. It says, "And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory.'" What does it mean to enlarge his territory? It means to have a greater influence. So he's calling upon God, saying, "God, bless me so that I might be able to have greater influence." And it goes on, "That your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. And so when it comes down to it, especially those of us who are believers, it is important for us to call out to God and say, "God, give me the ability to influence more people so that I might be able to bring good to more lives and to be able to bring your name more glory." And when we do, we will be able to grow our connections. We'll be able to grow our influence, our leadership. We'll be able to grow the social capital that is so important to a life lived for a legacy. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Just one life.